This episode is brought to you by KJK. Tired of the billable hour? KJK has a solution. The KJK GC Advantage program offers businesses comprehensive legal services in the areas of employment, corporate services, real estate, trademark, intellectual property, and estate planning, all for a set monthly fee. KJK serves as their clients' partners in business, not just their lawyers. Along with cost certainty and predictability, the KJK GC Advantage program gives clients peace of mind, knowing their projects will be handled quickly and efficiently, maximizing the return on investment on their legal spend. So don't go it alone. Let KJK help. Learn more by visiting KJK.com. Startups Nation, welcome to another episode of the 614 Startups Podcast. My name is Elio Harmon, and my mission is to help you attract the clients and access the capital you need to build your dream business. Like a good guest, wipe your feet at the door by hitting the subscribe button and come on in. Today, we're going to be talking about explosive growth. I know you entrepreneurs out there want to know how to explode your growth. And what we're going to be doing is diving into the proven strategies to grow your startup faster. In order to do that, I have invited my very special guest today, Jason Parks, owner of The Media Captain and co-founder of The Derm Warehouse. Jason, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be here, Elio.
All right, man, this is our first time sitting down, but you and I go way back to my days working for a marketing firm. You did a video back then I hope you have lost. It's nowhere in the cloud to be found because that was one of my first times on camera, and I think I absolutely bombed. So good to have you here, man.
Yeah, no, that we do go a ways back, and that was my first time. I was working as a solo shop, you know, agency. It was just me, and being able to see you in an agency environment, that was a memorable day. But yeah, the video is long gone. I don't have that.
Okay, thank you, man. Never to be found ever again, guys. You will not get the joy of seeing me squirm like that. All right, Jason, the people want to know how to explode their growth, and you're the expert at doing this. You're doing this for clients day in and day out. So this is not theory for you. This is practice. This is how you put food on your table. So you have to produce results. But I am a definition guy. So I always like to start with a definition of what we're actually talking about. So how do you define marketing?
I define marketing as bringing qualified traffic, at least for online marketing, qualified traffic to the website and converting that traffic into sales. That's what I would, you know, there's awareness and a lot of other terminology in marketing, but to put it very black and white, getting qualified prospects and converting those into customers.
Okay, so let's talk about qualified. I know you serve a variety of clients. Looking at your website, you seem to be industry agnostic. I'm sure every client defines qualified a different way. And so how do you define qualified at The Media Captain?
Yeah, that's a good question. It is just, you want to send the right, you know, you're not going to bat 1,000% in doing that, but you're looking to target the right type of person. And for example, if you're bidding on a keyword on Google and you know that keyword has high intent, that's an example of bringing a very, very qualified prospect to your website that would have a high probability of converting.
Gotcha. So they're probably looking, they have a need, they have the budget, and you know, now they're on your website. Now you brought up something that I think a lot we don't even talk about anymore, which is websites. But it feels very much like in marketing, at least in digital marketing or the marketing world that we live in, all roads lead back to the website. Is it fair to say that? Is that ultimately where you want to get people to start that conversion process?
Yeah, I think conversations happen a lot on social media, but in terms of revenue being generated or leads, you know, contact forms being submitted, yeah, it oftentimes does lead back to the website. I mean, now with Facebook, you could run, or with Instagram, there's shopping that could take place directly through Instagram. You could capture leads directly via Facebook. But you know, for the majority of clients that we work with, excuse me, yeah, it does. The conversions typically happen on the website.
All right, now this term conversion, I'm assuming there are many different types of conversion, at least on our website, right? So one conversion might be we want them to join our newsletter, right? Because that's where ultimately maybe we own a little bit more of the audience. Another conversion might be we want them to give us a call. Another conversion might be we want them to fill out our contact us form. When you're talking to your companies about the appropriate first conversion, what is that process like? And then going through that to make the right decisions about conversion? Because sometimes I think you could try to get to buy too quickly, right? But maybe that's ultimately what that startup needs. So how are you thinking about conversions and setting up tripwires and things like that on a website?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, we analyze each business's website and identify what we feel the conversions are. And so, you know, for the media captain, for example, if somebody is submitting a contact form, if somebody calls us, if somebody subscribes to our newsletter, if somebody emails us by clicking the email button on our website, we're able to track all of that. And, you know, for Durham Warehouse, our e-commerce business, obviously, it's different. The conversion is like a purchase, but there are other conversions within the funnel. So we have a 20% off coupon for new visitors that go to the site. So we track the amount of people that enter their email because a lot of people don't purchase right away. And I think that's a misconception with marketing is that, you know, I'm going to get these sales based off of the first click. But a lot of times, if you can get them to the website, if you could capture information and get them into your funnel, it could lead to more customers down the road. So to make a short story long there, it just the conversions are dependent on the business, and we come up with a conversion document that the client signs off on.
All right, so now we went micro to begin with. So we got our micro definition of marketing. But what I want to zoom out to do now is think about marketing and your strategy. Right? How are you even going to go into this market? Right? What's going to be the way you position your brand and your offering and your value proposition? I want to talk to you a little bit about strategy. So what is marketing strategy and what are some of the key components of an effective marketing strategy?
Yeah, so it all comes down to we work with hundreds of businesses. So one of the benefit of working with an agency is that we have put together thousands of strategies. So it saves a lot of time and it's very efficient because we know where to go, where not to go. But a lot of times strategy comes down to intent. We try to analyze where the customer is going to be for that specific client. You know, I think the statistic is 70% of digital ad spend goes to Google, Meta, and Amazon. So, you know, those are like three of the core channels where we put our time and energy into. One thing I've learned over the years is it used to be where like Pinterest was hot right now or TikTok and we would just be moving in a lot of different directions. And we really focus the majority of our ad spend onto those networks that I discussed. But the strategy comes down to intent. If there is let's say a dentist, if somebody for a dentist, somebody is likely going to look on Google for a dentist in Gahanna or a dentist near me. So when there's strong intent on search, we know that Google Ads is going to be a good option for them. It's a little bit harder when you go over to Meta and Facebook. How do you know if somebody needs a root canal or has a cavity if they're not typing that in? So you can run awareness campaigns like on social media, targeting, let's say, a radius around their office in Gahanna, but the intent is more driven for that specific client, for example, to Google. So we take it on a case-by-case basis, and there are some where it's divided equally, where, you know, there's going to be strong intent on Google and on social. And that's really how the strategy, that we start from a strategy development perspective.
Yeah, if you're not on the Media Captain newsletter, go ahead and sign up for it. I'm an avid reader of that thing. And you're right, in your most recent newsletter, you talk about how you guys are deploying customer ad spend. I think it was like 60% to Google, another 30% to Facebook and Meta. Big shout out to my guy Zuck, right? You also mentioned that his net worth just went out of control because Meta advertising is so effective. But I think that's getting back down to the micro. I mean, when we zoom back out, right, thinking about the strategy, how important is it to understand your customer, right? If you're going to market to somebody, part of the strategy has to be that customer discovery side of things. So how much time as an agency when you're working with somebody do you take to really make sure that they understand their customer?
Yeah, that's the first couple of weeks when we onboard a client is just understanding their business, understanding where revenue is being generated. And like from all of that, we start to understand what type of customer they're looking to attract. And that helps with the overall strategy. So yeah, I mean, understanding the business and aligning that with the customer is crucial.
Right. So an example of strategy might be like Walmart. They want to be the low cost provider. They chose that as the way they were going to penetrate the market. You know, Amazon really chose logistics. We're going to master logistics and we're going to get you your order as fast as possible. We're going to make commerce frictionless. When you're trying to get this big research, right, customer discovery, a whole month of asking questions, going back and forth, and you're trying to help your client distill that. One of the things I find with entrepreneurs is choosing what that thing is going to be, that one thing that you're going to use to differentiate yourself. How are you thinking about when you're having conversations with your customer, that differentiation point that you could really now create a message and a plan around?
Yeah, I just recorded a YouTube video. And one of the things that I mentioned in that was how with AI, a lot of things are becoming a little too generic. You know, when you're creating a Google advertisement or a Facebook ad, like AI is generating this content, and I feel like the storytelling is being lost a little bit. So when you're selling your company, you need to have unique selling propositions. So a lot of times on a Google advertisement, it is the price point that is going to attract somebody in because there's just like transparency there. So yeah, I mean, it's crucial to just differentiate yourself.
Yeah. And so we've been playing with our value proposition. I mean, along the way, we've talked to tons and tons of people. We talk about our value proposition and that has evolved over time. So what we're really landing on is we want to be the media company that helps you get to your first 10K a month. Right. And so by listening to us and listening to our podcast, we're going to help you go from wherever you are to your first 10K. And we also have an initiative to help people raise funding. It's not fully articulated out yet, but we're kind of playing with that strategy. And so once we land on that strategy, it informs our plan. It informs all our decision making going forward about the titles and the thumbnails and how we create content and what channels we're communicating on. And so once you have your client focused and they have a strategy about how they want to go into the market, let's talk about now the components of a marketing plan. What are those critical things that are part of a marketing plan?
I mean, you need a great website. It needs to be found on Google. You want to run advertisements from Google, from Meta, from Amazon, depending if you're like e-commerce or not e-commerce. So, you know, marketing, again, I mentioned this earlier, it's very broad. We focus specifically on like digital marketing. But for us, it's just making sure you have that strong foundation with a website. And that strong foundation with a website leads to a lot of success organically and on the paid side.
Okay, awesome. So I'm thinking my plan is, so if we want to help founders get to 10K a month, right, that's our strategy. There's an audience for that. There are many founders who are probably listening to this, especially people who are starting companies for the first time. That's a ceiling for them. They've just never broken through that ceiling of 10K. And we set it at 10K because we feel like that's an important number, that at that 10K mark, you could probably seriously, for most people who manage their finances appropriately, start to go full time, right? To be able to put all in, you could probably pay your expenses and give yourself a little bit of a salary, which is why 10K is important. So our plan is to, you know, we're going to focus on LinkedIn as our channel of choice. Our primary goal is going to try to get people on our newsletter because that's where our long form conversation is going to happen and where we think we could add the most value. And so that strategy is now starting to inform the plan. Like you said, you're going to go out and you're going to you're going to go out to these platforms where they're going to help you reach customers who are probably in buy mode. They're actively searching, whether it's on Google, where they're putting in the correct keywords, or it's on Facebook, they're joining groups and they're seeing your ads and Facebook is targeting them. But let's talk about messaging now and how, because if you're going to run ads, I know the creative matters. Again, I'm just regurgitating your newsletter here, man, because I read it so avidly. The messaging matters. Should you already have your messaging honed in before you start spending money? Or is there a component of the ad spend that helps you hone your message based on the conversion rates?
So I think going, like, let's just take you for example. I think that's a really great tagline, let's call it, trying to help entrepreneurs get to 10K, right? And that is memorable. And if that was used in ad copy, I could see that performing well because it is strong copy. And like I mentioned earlier, it's not generic. I wouldn't say that if you're going to spend money, you know, ultimately there is typically like a destination where you're sending that paid traffic to. So I think one thing people have to focus on is, do I have a good landing page? Do I have a good website where the messaging is like clear and concise? Because yes, you could be wasting money if you start advertising and there's not a good website experience. That in terms of, if you have a great website, it doesn't take a ton of time to set up a Google ad campaign or a Facebook advertisement, but there are a lot of like smaller components that lead to success for that.
Okay, so it all works together. Again, that's why it's a plan, right? There's a strategy with a plan that goes with it, and then the reasoning behind each step. So I completely understand that. So hopefully at this point in the podcast, you know, you have a better understanding of marketing, which as Jason defines it is, you know, generating traffic of qualified leads and then converting them on the website. And then we talked a little bit about strategy, but given those two things, let's say we understand all of that, we still make mistakes. We're still human. And so when you're sitting down with a founder who's tried to do these things, maybe they're not starting on day one. What are some of the common mistakes you're seeing founders make in marketing?
Well, it's interesting. We work with a lot of e-commerce brands, and the strategy is similar in terms of what we're doing on Google Shopping and Facebook advertising. Sometimes it's just like the product, you know. Sometimes it's the product is better, and that's a differentiating factor of a client we work with scaling into the millions versus us not being able to generate a sale for a specific business. So sometimes it's product specific. When you're going on to the service side of things, I mean, if you're sending ads to a website for a company that's been in business for 100 years and they have thousands of reviews, it's going to be easier to convert than somebody that just built a new website and has really no like authority behind their company. So we're very transparent with our clients, and we say, if it's not working, we're going to let you know. We have a 30-day opt-out in our agreement in case the results aren't there. There's a variety of factors that lead to conversions.
Yeah. 30-day opt-out, guys. You hear that about Media Captain? That's probably part of the marketing strategy. I mean, if I'm on the fence and I have two firms and I get a 30-day opt-out, strategically brilliant. So what you said there that resonates with me is that you cannot market your way out of a bad product. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And a lot of people, what I always say is that like when we're running ads, at least for an e-commerce company, Google is going to be the official source of truth. It's going to tell you whether or not consumers like your product or they don't like your product. And business owners are biased. They always think they have the best product. And it's, a little bit of a dose of reality when you spend $500, $1,000 and don't get a conversion. What is it? Is it the price point on the product? Is it no reviews? Is it there's too much competition? There's like a lot of different factors. But it's a lot of times the data tells us whether or not you kind of have a winning company or not.
Yeah, and in my case, I learned a very important lesson. Like they said, you could have a plan. I think Mike Tyson says this. It's like you can have a plan until you get punched in the face. But for a media company, polarization is good, right? Because that's the sign of a sticky media product. And for the first time, I think I got some polarization. And it hurt, yes, but I'm on the internet, so you got to have thick skin if you're going to be on the internet. But for a media company, I finally landed on polarization. I had somebody get on the internet and post something like, "This is completely terrible," and it put a smile on my face, right? Because the customer feedback that you have to have in media is much different than maybe the customer feedback that you want to have on a product. And just because something is all 5 stars doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate into great sales. There's a little bit of reality that needs to creep in, right? The 5 stars balanced out by the 2 and 1 stars make the product feel even more real. And so, guys, you are listening to my podcast with Jason Parks of The Media Captain. If you're enjoying this, you love marketing, you love sales, and you do want to experience explosive growth, stay tuned. We'll be back after these messages. This episode is brought to you by Rev1. Rev1's mission is to help entrepreneurs build great companies. As you navigate the waters of business entrepreneurship, you don't have to go it alone. A strategic partnership with Rev1 connects innovators to the talent, customers, space, and funding you need when you need it. Get started with Rev1 Startup Studio by visiting rev1ventures.com to learn more. Again, the website is rev1ventures.com. 614 Startups Nation, we are back. I know you're on the edge of your seat, man. You're like, "Listen, I'm loving this. I'm learning. I'm ready to implement some strategies." But we got to go with what actually works. And so, Jason, at your firm, you focus on digital. What are the proven digital marketing strategies for growing company? Let's talk about both paid. I know startups don't want to hear that. You guys spend some money, guys, if you want to grow, and organic. Let's start with Google. What are your thoughts on Google?
Google is a beast, and about 65, 70% of our clients' ad spend goes to Google. It doesn't get the love it deserves because social media is so visual. And so a lot of times people contact us and they're like, we need to get more clients, so we want to be active on social media. And again, going back to intent, we're like, I think Google is going to be a better play for you. So, when you think of Google, there is organic and there is paid. For paid, you have to pay per click, whereas organic, it's earned placement. So that's what we refer to as SEO, organic placement. It is one of the most profitable areas of marketing because you don't have to pay for that click. So for example, if you look for Columbus Marketing and on agency on Google, we bid on that keyword. If you were to click, and please don't do that, but if you were to click on our advertisement, that's costing us about $20 per click because it's a competitive keyword. But we also rank well, and so if somebody clicks organically, it costs us nothing because that's earned placement. So that should give everybody a good perspective of how to think of Google. There is paid and there's organic, and it's good to have a dual strategy on that because, if you're just starting out, and for this podcast, a lot of startups out there, it takes time to build up authority on your website so you can rank. That doesn't happen overnight, but you still want to get website traffic, so paid ads is the way to supplement that. And then over time, if you get to rank, great. Then you could always like scale back a little bit on paid ads. But for our clients, we like to have a dual strategy between paid and organic.
Yeah, and you know, you have to see it to believe it. You know, we could tell you all day long that Google advertising works, that you know, advertising on Meta works. Until you run a campaign that's well crafted with a landing page that has a high conversion rate with the right messaging and creative, I mean, I'm not exaggerating. It's almost like magic. And there's a reason why these tech companies are raking in cash at the rate that they are. And so one of the things I want you to hammer on, Jason, is your real world experience of seeing this work. I think sometimes you say, and experts say things to people, and it doesn't really register with them that there is the potential, if you do this right, to really experience explosive growth.
Yeah, so my dad is a dermatologist, and he has been practicing in Columbus for over 30 years, and he sold five products at his office for decades. My sister and I, the concept behind Derm Warehouse, our e-commerce business, was that we wanted to scale that. What my dad had was the products that he has access to. You know, John Smith on the corner can't sell. You need a physician's license to sell the products. So that was our concept behind Derm Warehouse and how we were going to launch the company. Great in theory. And then we started advertising on Google. We built a website. We felt the website was good. And this is back in 2016. And we started with a modest $500 a month budget. Again, we wanted to prove concept, is this going to work? I'll never forget, the first order came in from DuPont, Washington, and followed by Las Vegas. And I was just like, this is the coolest thing. I'm getting customers outside of Columbus, all throughout the country. I called the second customer because I had a shipping question for them in Las Vegas. And I was like, why'd you decide to go with us? And they were like, yeah, I wasn't in the mood to drive to my dermatologist to get the product, and you offered a discount, so I went with you. Fast forward, you know, we scaled our advertising where we were spending over $50,000 per month for Derm Warehouse, because there was what's called in e-commerce, there's a metric called ROAS, return on ad spend. And the ROAS was at a point where we had the ability to scale. So without Google, this would have never been possible. And also, like, unlike traditional TV or radio where you have to buy in bulk, I mean, we started relatively small, we proved concept, and then we were able to scale. So, you know, I just, you know, Google is, and it's gotten more expensive over the years. And I've mentioned it doesn't work for every business. And some companies are also a little impatient. And if it's not working after a month or so, they might not have the funds to continue running it, but it works. And when it does work, it, like you said, it feels like magic.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about funds to keep running it, and how much of a percentage maybe you should be putting aside to marketing, because people are the most important asset of a business, but a well-oiled marketing strategy is like jet fuel. Right? It just makes everything go a little bit quicker. All right. I also want to talk about Meta. I mean, $28 billion added to Zuckerberg's net worth. He is not playing around, right? So what are your thoughts on Meta and Facebook and Instagram and some of their other platforms like WhatsApp, et cetera, and advertising using those platforms?
Love it. I mean, it is, it's also a beast. And when you can figure out who to target on Facebook, on Meta, it can be extremely powerful. So if you're selling Ohio State products and on Meta, you can target fans of Ohio State. There's a strong intent match there. But I mean, just the, even for awareness and what you can serve with videos and the targeting capabilities, it's amazing. And, you know, so I know we've been talking a lot about Google, but we do a lot of ad spend on Meta. We see great results and, love it.
And you have to admire their commitment to keeping us addicted. That's the whole business model, is attention. And so if you know you are as distracted as you are by these platforms, your customers are glued to it. You sending them email, you cold calling, yeah, that's fine. I mean, there's a portion of that that you have to do in business in terms of follow up and building relationships and working the DMs and all of that other stuff that you have to do. But just getting your message in front of people while they're so glued to their devices, and hopefully you have messaging that resonates with them, that's where you need to be playing if you truly want to grow your company. All right. Give us a sleeper. Go ahead.
And just to hit on that, like once, you know, because I've been there where I was making outbound, you know, when I first started the media captain and I was making outbound calls and like the effort that goes into that. And once you start to get leads from your website or from a Facebook advertisement, and those leads are just consistent, it's a complete game changer, and it really changes your perspective on business.
All right, give us a sleeper strategy. I mean, people might be like, oh, I know about Google, I know about Facebook. Well, they haven't tried it, right? They haven't seen the magic of actually creating results, but they're, give me the I don't want to say trendy, but give me the sleeper. What is a platform or a channel or a means of advertising or growing your business that a lot of people aren't looking at right now?
Yeah, I'll give you two. And I wouldn't say it's like a sleeper, but I'd say it's underutilized by many brands. The first one is your blog. 95% of people completely miss the mark on their blog. It is a great, they kind of write fluff pieces. And I always say, your blog should be a piece of content that you would be able to share with a current or prospective client. And when you pick strategic topics, you can start to generate leads throughout the country based off of your industry and the topics that you pick. So I would just say blogs is absolutely one area that I feel a lot of people are sleeping on.
Yeah. And what's the second one? You said you had two, blogs being one of them.
The second one would be YouTube. YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world behind Google. And so similar to actually a blog strategy, if you pick topics that are relevant to your business and you're strategic about that, you can get a lot of views, and you could also get a lot of new business, you know, depending on your industry.
Yeah. If you're watching this on YouTube, subscribe, man. All right. Don't sleep on YouTube. All right. Follow us. Okay. This is the kind of content we're bringing to you. And by subscribing, you're going to help us do more of it and bring on bigger guests. Of course, this guy's a megastar right here, Mr. Results himself, Jason Parks. All right, Jason, let's talk about now how
that's the first time I've ever been called a megastar. So I'm humbled.
You're blowing up, man. You're blowing up. You're doing it at two companies, right? That's not easy. Media Captain and Derm Warehouse. You're running two companies. That's awesome. And I like the fact that, I mean, you run an agency, but you're also running a company. So you're doing this for clients and you're also doing it for yourself. So you're seeing it from both sides. And I love that about your experience. All right. Let's talk about results, KPIs. When you're developing a marketing plan, I know everybody and what they measure is different, but somewhere on there has to be revenue. But what are some other KPIs that you're looking at from a marketing standpoint?
I think it's a big reason why a lot of people get frustrated with working with a marketing agency is I feel like there's just a lot of jargon and BS in terms of impressions and, you know, all of these different, all the CPM and all of these different metrics out there. You know, for us, it's simple. Like what we want to measure on an e-commerce company, it's the revenue, and it's the metric called ROAS, which is the revenue divided by the ad spend. And for a non-e-commerce company, it's just the leads and a cost per lead. How many leads are being generated based off of how much you're spending? At the end of the day, that's what, you know, pays the bills.
Yeah, man. Keep it simple. Right. It's like everything. Right. And I was at a Ohio X event today, and I'm going to butcher this quote, but he said, so he was quoting somebody. He talks about the ultimate sophistication is simplicity. right? If you could get your KPIs down to the ones that matter, namely revenue and ROAS, which is new to me. I'm glad that you shared that with me. You can keep it simple. So if you have a tech company and you're not necessarily e-commerce, maybe some of the things that you're looking at is user signups and time on the app, right? Keep it simple when it comes to your KPI. So what else for other industries where maybe they're scaling to them means adding users, or scaling to them means user retention over time? What role does marketing play for a company like that?
I mean, I think it's data is everything. So every website should have analytics, and they should have access to the average time on site and the pages that they're clicking into and everything along those lines. You know, we don't do a lot of marketing with apps per se, but they're going back to just like the strategy development, that would be all identified within the discovery of what metrics are important for your business. And then that could all be tracked within Google Analytics. And the thing now with Google and with Facebook is everything is just being optimized for conversions. So when you set up these conversions properly, you can optimize the campaign to generate like the most leads or sales possible. We have benchmarks that we want to track for the types of businesses we work with, but everyone should identify on their website, on their apps, what is important for them from a business perspective.
All right. So let's talk about the big elephant in the room here. You've mentioned it a couple of times. It's about budgets, right? You want to get results, and scared money don't make money, right? We all heard that before. So how should a startup approach developing a marketing budget and deploying limited resources?
Yeah, we like to start a little bit smaller. A lot of agencies make money based off of the amount of ad spend. They charge a percentage, and we don't do that. So we're not incentivized for the client that we're working with to spend more money. So we like to start small. And I always say with a $300 to $500 budget, you can get good preliminary data back that will be an indicator of your future success. So going back to Derm Warehouse, we started with that $500 budget. We got customers, we saw promising results, and we were able to scale that. If we saw no customers come through, we could adjust the strategy. But on Google and Facebook, at least, you could start with that sort of budget. And it's easy to burn through that if you're not doing it the right way. But if set up properly, you can and should see results based off of that.
All right, you got the people excited, Jason. People might want to hear about your fee structure. Would you rather them reach out to you? You can talk to them about their needs, make sure they're a good fit, and then talk about the fee structure. Or is that something you want to get into here?
We have a package for like startups where if a business isn't generating revenue, like consistent revenue, it's not advantageous for them to be on a retainer model with us to pay like an agency fee per month. So we have a package of 10 hours where we would set up campaigns, launch campaigns, oversee it, provide that sort of insight. So depends where your business is at, but we do have packages. We like working with all types of businesses. I'm very entrepreneurial, so I can't imagine just turning somebody down if they don't have a huge budget.
All right, there you have it. So don't hesitate. $300 to $500 and a startup package could get you started towards explosive growth. All right, Jason, what's the process for setting appropriate goals? Let's say I love the package and I have about 3 to 6 months of runway, right? I don't have a ton of money, but I could probably commit to that with the package and about 3 to 6 months to run ads. How do you work with somebody like that, or anybody for that matter, on setting appropriate goals and expectations? Because I think that's the big thing. People walk into agencies, they have expectations that are not aligned, they run for a couple months, and they drop out and they say marketing doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't think you need 6 months to see whether or not paid advertisements would work. Typically within a month or so, 1 to 2 months, you're gonna know whether or not whether you're seeing success or some success with the potential for more success. But paid advertising is just one part of it. And there are other more profitable areas like SEO and email marketing. So when it comes to paid, you could see whether or not it's working rather quickly. I mentioned earlier, SEO can take more time. So it just depends on the business and crafting that strategy based off of what would be most beneficial for them.
Okay, well, there you have it, guys. I mean, a month or two, 300 to $500 in a startup package. This is starting to sound real good, Jason. And so, folks, yeah, go ahead.
And just to clarify, the 300 to 500 would be the ad spend that would go to Google and to Meta. I mean, we have a fee for our like 10 hours of time on that. So it's a little more expensive than just that. But and there are other agencies out there, but just providing clarity on that.
I appreciate that, folks. All right, that's a perfect segue for a break. During the break, why don't you log on to the Media Captain website, go ahead and book a call, and let's get this explosive growth started for your company. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey there, 614 Startups community. We're thrilled to share some exciting news with you. This podcast is proudly supported by Loop, the game changers in return management. Not only are they revolutionizing e-commerce, but they're also on the lookout for talented individuals to join their dynamic team. Looking to be part of a company that values innovation and fosters a vibrant culture? Well, Loop is the place to be. Check out their open positions at loopreturns.com/careers. And here's the scoop. Loop has been recognized by Forbes as one of the next billion-dollar startups of 2023. Want to be part of a success story? Now's your chance. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity. Head over to loopreturns.com/careers and be part of something extraordinary. Loop, where innovation meets success. Apply now. All right, folks, we are back for our final segment. And this is one of my favorite segments because we get to know about what the guest has planned, short term, long term, whatever's next for them. So, Jason, what's next for the Media Captain first, and then Derm Warehouse for 2024 and beyond?
Yeah, for the Media Captain, probably 60% of our business comes from Columbus and in Ohio, and we're trying to expand more outside, so we're not so reliant on the local business. So some things that I've talked about, we've invested into our blog. We are very active on our YouTube channel. Those are two initiatives to get new business outside of Ohio. And we're just, always working on improving our process, hiring the right people, having the right process in place. I've realized just how crucial that is for a business that's growing. So every day we're working on improving that.
That's awesome. And how about for the Derm Warehouse?
Derm Warehouse, we are getting more brands listed where, we have great customer service on the Derm Warehouse side of things. We've launched our own brand called Park Perfection, a private label brand. And so that's something that we're looking to grow. But Derm Warehouse, it's just more customer acquisition. That runs more, on the agency side, it's client relations. And so there's a lot more communication and things like that. Derm Warehouse is a little bit more of a fine-tuned machine with how that runs, but just keep on acquiring customers, providing good customer service, and growing our Park Perfection brand.
All right, awesome, Jason. Thank you so much for your time today. Is there anything else you'd like to add that we didn't cover that I might have missed? I'll give you a last word and I'll close things out. Anything else you want to talk about?
I think just to summarize, I think the beauty of the digital landscape is that you don't need a huge budget to start. There are channels out there like Google and Facebook and YouTube that are ripe for the taking. So it's if you were starting a business 30 years ago and you wanted to advertise, you'd have to have the budget for radio ads and TV, and that could be expensive. So I think there are just more opportunities at everyone's fingertips, and that, you know, keeps me going every day in this digital landscape.
All right. Thank you so much, Jason. Really appreciate your time and all the valuable insights that you provided. All right, folks, here's my final word. Listen, I was not convinced that this Google thing, this Facebook thing, this Meta thing, this Instagram thing works until I started doing it as a matter of necessity in my day job at National Church Residences. We were building, for the first time in our company's history, a doctor's office exclusively for seniors as a brand new service line. And guess when we started it? In the middle of the pandemic in January 2021. Now, here's an office where people have to come into. I took over and the strategy was, we're going to be an inbound first, right? Growth strategy. And in order to be inbound first, we needed to do marketing. Put some money down, crossed my fingers, and guess what? We are experiencing explosive growth by making strategic investments in Google and Facebook advertising. We're going to do the same here at 614 Startups. So be on the lookout. You might see my face or our logo in an ad near you soon. Until next time, peace. That's a wrap, folks. You can find this and all our episodes on our website, 614startups.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and all your favorite podcasting platforms. Don't forget to subscribe and write a review. If you'd like updates sent directly to your inbox, you can sign up for our weekly newsletter on the website. To engage in the 614 Startups community, follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at 614 Startups on all platforms, and join the conversation. For sponsorship opportunities and collaborations, email us at info@614startups.com.